You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast, which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Before I introduce my guest, I want to give a shout out to my sponsors at Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth are the softest sheets that you will ever sleep in. In fact, I actually owned Cozy Earth sheets before they sponsored this podcast. So, I mean, that's all you really need to know. They're also environmentally friendly. Go to CozyEarth.com and use code Holly to get 35% off site-wide. My guest today is kind of a podcast newbie. She did one interview a while ago, but it's been a minute. So I'm very excited to have her here. She's absolutely gorgeous. I've shot her for my Bombshell of the Month series for HollyRandall.com. And she is dominating the porn industry right now. She took home countless awards this year, including XBiz Performer of the Year. Welcome, Vanna Bardot.
Thank you.
So good to see you.
Good to see you. Can I just say I'm very excited. I'm a big fan of the podcast.
Really?
I've told you this before, but yeah, I've been listening to your podcast for years.
Wow.
Yeah, like I'm a very big fan. So I was really happy when you asked me to come on here.
I'm always like surprised when... Like, why didn't you tell me that I should have an
interview? I almost was thinking about – I almost was going to hit you up actually like the week before. And then I just like was really busy and I was like, oh, I'm just going to wait. And,
and then
you hit me up and I was like, yes.
Yeah, I know, because when I – sometimes when I, you know, talk to people because I saw you at the Brazzers party, I'm like, wait, why the fuck haven't I had her on? Like, what was I thinking? Because obviously we've worked together quite a few times.
Yeah.
You're fucking gorgeous and amazing.
Thank
and I'm
you.
So excited to have you here. So here you are. So, Vanna, I guess, you know, let's start at the beginning as we often do. How did you get into the adult industry?
So I had quite a fascination with the adult industry from pretty young age. It's probably not very kosher for me to say, but I mean, I had been watching like the AVN Awards on Showtime since I was like 16.
Mm-hmm.
I was really fascinated about it. I mean, I'd been watching porn for a lot longer than that. Like, I know we don't want that, but you know, it's just
kind
of the truth of my generation.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we were really the first ones to have so much unlimited access to the internet, and you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I just always had a really big fascination with like all forms of sex work, whether it was porn or stripping or escorting, burlesque dancers, cam girls, like everything. I was just really interested in it. And so I had been working as a hair salon assistant from when I was like 15 to 18, and I thought that's what I was going to go into. And by the time I turned 18, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I want to live my life. I want to do what I want. And I decided to start pursuing camming and stripping. And by the time I turned 19, I decided to go into professional porn.
Mm-hmm. And looking back now, how do you feel about getting into the industry at that age? Because obviously there's a lot of discussion around whether or not that's too young, whether or not it's fine because it's legal age.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience?
For sure. I think about that a lot. I mean, it's really hard for me to say that being able to join the industry at such a young age is a bad thing, because for me it was so positive. Like, I can't imagine where I would be if I didn't enter at that age. You know, when I had started, like, stripping and camming, that was okay, but, like, stripping wasn't, like, the best environment for me to be in, and porn was, like, so much healthier for me. And I think about, like, where would I be if I had started when I was 21 rather than 19, and I mean, it's all about, like, your mindset and, like, where you're at. I had a really, like, healthy understanding of, like, what I was doing and, you know, boundaries. And, of course, like, nothing was perfect. But for me, like, it really felt like where I needed to be. Of course, it's not the case for a lot of other girls. But, you know, there's plenty of other girls who get in when they're 20, 24, 30 and, you know, it doesn't go super well either. So, yeah.
They make bad decisions then.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we can all agree that people have varying levels of emotional maturity, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So your experience was overall pretty good when you entered. Like,
yes.
You didn't start off with, like, a shitty agent who, like, totally fucked you?
Oh, no. I had a pretty shitty agent.
Okay. You do have this shitty agent origin story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. My agent, he never tried to, like, fuck with me, but he definitely tried to fuck with my money. And yeah, he's not quite around anymore. But yeah, definitely had to deal with that. You know, like, even though I was really mature when I got in and I did, like, all my research, I watched, like, every documentary about porn, I listened to the good and the bad, I, you know, try to learn as much as I could before getting in. But, like, ultimately at 19, like, I didn't know shit about contracts. And my agent presented me, like, a 4-year contract. And I thought that meant, oh, he thinks I'm going to be working for 4 years. Amazing. Not quite the case. Yeah, just I didn't have, like, quite the splash I was hoping to make in my first year compared to, like, a lot of other girls in, like, my, I guess, like, generation or, like, class of porn stars. And after, like, 6 months of being signed, I wasn't really getting that much work anymore. I kind of ran through all, like, the new girl companies and those kind of scenes, and I wasn't getting the kind of work I wanted. And I was like, hey, like, what can I do? Like, do I need to change my look? Like, literally, like, I told him my goals. I was like, this is where I want to be. And he was just didn't really care. So yeah, I was able to buy out of my contract for a very pretty penny. And I mean, it wasn't great, but it's the best decision I made, because otherwise I can't imagine where I'd be if I didn't switch to the agency I'm at now.
Right, right. So when you first started in the industry, you had braces.
Yeah.
So did you, like, really lean into that? I assume that you probably did a lot of teen scenes, right?
Yeah. So when I got in, it wasn't ideal. Like, originally I wanted to wait until, like, after I had my braces off, until, like, I got, like, all the little, like, work that I wanted. But I was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna be making, like, so much more money so much more quickly shooting scenes than stripping and camming. So yeah, I was like, I might as well kind of exploit this, like, fetish that people really like and try to, like, milk as much out as I can, like, starting looking super young and then, you know, grow into the performer I wanted to be. But yeah, I realized pretty quickly that, again, I wasn't getting the work I wanted because of how I looked. And yeah, I had to kind of grow out of that one. But yeah, I was doing a lot of teen, a lot of brace face. I was kind of pigeonholed into, like, the same characters. I was always, like, the naive virgin who didn't know what she was doing, which was, like, so the opposite of me. Like, I had always been so sexual from a really early age. So, yeah, I just did not like getting typecasted like that at all.
Yeah. I mean, were there any scenes that you were presented with when you were just like, this is a little...
Yeah, there is one. It's actually, like, quite hilarious. Wasn't very happy about doing it at first, but by the end of the scene, I was like, this is so funny. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to, like, really lean into the comedy of this. But they wanted me to wear headgear.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they had this, like, fake headgear that, like, wasn't attached to my actual braces or anything. And I just felt, like, so ugly. And I, yeah, it, by the end of the scene, I was like, this is the funniest scene I've ever done. But I definitely did not feel very sexy, to say the least.
God, that is, I don't think I've ever seen porn with headgear before. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've seen it all.
Yeah, my headgear was supposed to get stuck on the kitchen sink. And
you know, it was a stuck scene, yes, with headgear.
And what did my stepbrother do? Being so helpful.
I mean, he wouldn't help you, like, get unstuck. No. He has to have sex with you, yeah, because you're
the only natural solution.
You know, the problem solving that we do in porn is just, like, sometimes really, like, next level. It's just
innovative.
God. So, tell me a little bit about your family. Your mom, I think you said that she was kind of like a borderline nudist, right?
Yeah, her and my grandma. So I come from a very, like, internationally diverse family. Mm-hmm. My mom is French. My dad is Brazilian. My grandma from my mom's side is Swiss. On my dad's side, it's there's Italian and Argentinian. So I have family, like, all over the place. But I had really open parents. I had, like, the sex talk at a very early age. My mom gave me the talk at, like, 10, which is arguably, like, very early for most children, I guess. But
did you feel like it was early for you?
Or? No, I mean, for me, it made sense, especially, mm-hmm. like, I grew up in Miami, and when she saw, like, my older brother go to, like, middle school, like, the middle school he was at was, like, pretty crazy, and there was, like, already kids, like, having threesomes in the bathrooms and, like, just crazy shit. And, you know, my mom was, like, you know, she was not stupid or anything. Not that, like, I was already doing stuff at that age. But
she saw, like, that you were being exposed to things that maybe needed context.
Yeah, and she was, like, you are not getting pregnant under this household. She literally told me, she was, like, if you get pregnant, I'm snatching that shit out of you myself. So, yeah, that's definitely the kind of parents I had. But, yeah, my mom was really open about, like, nudity and sexuality, and we just always had a very open dialogue at home. I remember, like, coming out to her when I was, like, 13, I think, about being bi, and she's like, oh, sweetie, I know, I've seen her search history. So, yeah, I feel really fortunate to, like, have parents who are really open like that.
Do you think that having parents like that and having that kind of education from a young age actually helped you make, like, better decisions when you were older and got into the adult industry? Yeah. You know, because we hear about some people who come in and they're so naive to sex and mm-hmm. all of that because they're raised in such a strict household and weren't told anything. So they come into this industry and they're just, like, so clueless. And then, unfortunately, like, they learn, you know, while they're working, which is not necessarily the best place to learn about sex.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think coming into this industry, like, I had already been very, like, sexual since high school. And, you know, my mom was – she was, like, the mom and Mean Girls. She was, like, I'd rather you do it at home. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, here, like, I'll buy you a box of condoms. But, like, I'd rather know that you're safe and if you have any questions. And she actually explained to me that porn is – because when she realized I was also watching – mm-hmm. pretty, like, crazy porn at a young age. She explained to me, she's like, porn is a fantasy. This is make-believe. This is not what making love is. And, you know, while porn is great, it's not a accurate representation of, you know, what usually happens between, like, a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's really, like, that's really profound. I mean, you don't – you almost never hear that coming from people's parents. So when you told her that you were doing porn, what was the reaction?
Yeah, she was one of the first persons I told. I told her after – I came out to L.A. I shot for 2 weeks, and one of my last shoots, it was for Barely Legal magazine mm-hmm. with Dave Naz, and – it was, like, the first, like, real, like, photo shoot I had been on. And at the end of the day, I called her and I was like, yeah, so I shot some, like, photos with a photographer. And she's like, okay, what kind of photos? And I'm like, you know, it was like nude ones, but they were like very classy and
barely legal. Sorry. Sorry, Hustler. Love you guys.
Well, they were pretty cute, honestly. Like, it was compared to like some of the other scenes I had been like, you know, the scenes, with the photos I was doing on set. Yeah, it was like, I felt like, oh, like it was like a proper photo shoot. And
Dave Naz is a good photographer.
Yeah, and I like, I looked at his work and I really liked it. So, yeah, I told her about it, and I didn't quite tell her I was, like, doing, like, porn, but, yeah, eventually I told her about it, and she was super open. Like, she always knew that I had a really, like, good head on my shoulders and that I knew what I was doing and that I was safe, and, yeah, she was not very worried. My grandma actually was my biggest cheerleader.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I sent her, like, not all of my photos, but I sent her, like, when I got Penthouse, and, like, I'll send her all my, like, really, like, classy photos. Yeah. And, yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they love it.
That's really cool. And I assume that they are probably pretty proud of how far you've gotten in the industry today.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So, speaking of where you've gotten into the industry today, you took some pretty serious hardware home during the awards season earlier this year. How did it feel to win 2 XBIZ and 2 ABN awards?
It was crazy. I mean, being back at like ABN for the first time this year, like in person, and getting to go up on stage was like such a crazy feeling, because when I got started in porn, I told myself, if I'm going to do this, like, I want to go all the way. I want to be on that stage taking home awards. I don't want to be one of those girls who just, like, comes and shoots a few scenes and disappears. I'm like, right, that's not going to be worth it. So I had already, like, won some awards before, but to be back, like, in person and be on that stage, and it just it just was, like, so exhilarating. And, you know, I love it. It, like, gives me something to, like, push myself towards and look forward to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then XBIZ was crazy. Like, I did not expect to take home Performer of the Year. Like, that was next level. Like, I really was not expecting it to happen until I had won. I already got on stage to accept 2 awards. And then Cody was like, he's like, you should probably start preparing, like, your speech. Like, you're going to win Performer of the Year. And I was like, no way. Like, shut the fuck up. And he even, like, turned on his camera and started, like, recording as we're announcing it. And I'm like, stop it. That's so embarrassing. You're not going to say my name. And then they did. And, yeah, it was, like, such a pivotal moment.
Did he get your reaction?
He did, yeah. But it was such a pivotal moment because, like, I never thought that.
Yeah.
I could win an award like that. My biggest aspiration was just to be nominated for Best New Starlet when I started in the industry. I was like, if I do that, then, you know what, I made it far enough. Mm-hmm. And to win something like Performer of the Year was, like, just unbelievable.
Do you remember what your speech was? Like, I mean, you hadn't prepared a speech, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what did you say when you got up there?
You know, I think the first people I thanked were my agents, because I don't think, like, I'd be here without them. Mm-hmm. Really, like, when I came to them, I told them exactly where I wanted to be. I did the same thing with my first agent, but he didn't listen to me. But when I signed with ATMLA,
I know who your first agent is.
Yeah. but when I signed with ATMLA, I told them, I was like, these are the companies I want to work for. Like, this is where I want to go. And they listened to me and they did what they could to, like, push me in that direction. And yeah, like, I thanked all the companies I've worked with, and I think Cody, and yeah, I'm like blanking on what else I said, but yeah.
And then how did you celebrate that night?
I went out. Yeah, I went out to, like, a little, like, after party that was happening, and then, yeah, then I just went home.
And then, so for those who don't know, what exactly did you win that year? So obviously XBIZ Performer of the Year.
Yeah.
What were the other awards you won at XBIZ, and what did you win at ABN?
At XBIZ, I also won Best. The categories at XBIZ are a little interesting, but I won Best All Sex Scene.
Okay.
And then Best, I don't know if it was Best Gonzo Scene, but I won a scene with Seth Gamble, and another one that was for Blacked Raw, that was like this huge orgy that mm-hmm. also won Best Orgy at AVN. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at AVN, I won Best Girl Scene with Gianna Dior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do like, I mean, you said that the awards were like motivating to you. Like how mm-hmm. important to you are the awards?
I will say I do like care about them. Like they're not, you know, it's not the end all be all, but I know for me, it's like a nice like thing to motivate myself. Like I am kind of a competitive person. Mm-hmm. I grew up doing like dance and, you know, you went to competitions and all that. So it's like I tried getting back into dance now as an adult and it feels kind of pointless because I'm like there's nothing that like –
You're not going to win anything?
Yeah, there's nothing that like I'm working towards. There's no big recital. There's no big competition. So I don't know. For me, like after – especially like after – you know, this award season, I was immediately like, okay, what do I want for this next year? Like already planning, like, what am I going to do? And, you know, for me, it's fun, honestly, but it's not like if I don't win something, it's going to floor me either.
You're not crying in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Every year at the awards, there's always some girl crying in the bathroom because she didn't win like whatever it is she really wanted. Yeah. I always feel so bad for them. As somebody who like never wins awards, I'm always like, it's okay. It's
yeah.
Fine. Like life goes on. It's fine. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. So of course we want to talk about your new movie Influence, through Vixen Media Group. It's a 5-part crossover series that has your first anal and your first double penetration.
Yes.
So before we get to the fun parts, what is the movie like in general about?
So the movie is loosely based on some elements of my life. So my character in Influence, she wants to open a sex club and she wants to stray away from her father's line of work. So she decides to go off on her own and open the sex club, but it's not doing super well. She doesn't have the kind of clientele that she wants. It's kind of like kind of dingy. And she's like, okay, like how are we going to figure this out? How are we going to elevate this? And her business partner decide to reach out to this influencer to try and get some sponsorship from him. And that kind of leads her down this rabbit hole of other problems and solutions to ultimately elevate the club to where she wants to be.
Mm-hmm. So what – you said it's loosely based on your life. Like what parts are –
So the element of the sex club, originally it was – we were thinking about partnering. I work pretty closely with a production company called – not really a production company, but this like private members club in LA called Kinky Rabbit Club.
Oh, yeah. Dude, okay. So there – I follow them mm-hmm. and they're – like photos and I don't know, all the stuff that they put out there is really well done.
Yeah.
Like really well done.
Yeah. Alina, the woman who created it and runs everything, like she's truly like such an artist.
Yeah.
But yeah, originally when we were thinking about stories for the showcase, we wanted to have that involved in some way. And ultimately we ended up using the concept of the club to have that as kind of like the backdrop for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, the beginning of the story that shows kind of my background with my dad is very dramatized, but it is true. Mm-hmm. He was like a pretty prolific like distributor in Miami of sorts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Probably when I not a distributor of diapers or baby wipes
or
phone cases.
Yeah.
Something else maybe.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, when I – Caden Cross is the one who actually wrote the movie. Mm-hmm. So I had sat down with her and told her about my life, and she pulled that as inspiration for the movie. So, yeah. But the whole part about me pulling off this, like, whole heist and everything, not – based on my real life.
Are you still close to your dad, or are you close to your
dad? I'm very close. Yeah, I'm very close with both of my parents.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How did your dad but how did your dad react to you being born?
He was not quite as thrilled as my mother, naturally. Yeah, at first he thought that I was escorting because he found I had a notebook with like rates written down and like girl, girl and boy, girl and boy, girl, girl. And he thought I was escorting. And I told him like, no, I'm shooting porn, but it's really safe. And then I also lied and I said, oh, I'm just shooting with girls because I try to make it seem so much better. And
yeah,
he was not happy for a while, but naturally like he calmed down. And I think he was mostly concerned because of my look at the time. I had the braces and I looked so young and he was like, I know the kind of porn that you're probably making. It's not like you're a dominatrix. That would be a little bit different. You know, I don't think he liked the idea of
you being taken advantage of.
Yeah. But he realized pretty quickly that I was very safe. You know, I had an agent and it was a very professional business. I wasn't doing anything seedy, but I don't think any father is going to be,
I think the dads generally take it harder than the moms do.
Yeah.
From what I've heard. Okay. So back to the movie. So you did your first, anal and your first double penetration.
Yes.
So I guess tell us about the anal first. We'll start slow. Just one old
warm it up.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first scene in the movie is my first anal ever.
Ever on film.
Yes, ever on film. Okay. Yeah. I honestly never knew if I was gonna really do anal or not. I almost did pretty early in my career, but just because I thought it was something I had to do and I backed out of it because I realized I wasn't ready, and I'm really glad I did because now I had a very amazing way to do it. But yeah, it's with Maximo Garcia. It went amazing. It was very smooth. It was really enjoyable.
Did you choose him for a specific reason, or was that just kind of
we had to think about how this was going to work with the characters in the movie too.
Right.
But I had a very short list of guys that, because the movie's all anal. So I had a very short list of guys who I was would feel comfortable working with them. And it was my first time working with Maximo, but I had heard a lot of good things about him, that he was very good with anal. So, yeah.
Interesting. Is he circumcised?
I don't remember, actually.
Means probably yes. I've just heard that uncircumcised penises are easier for anal.
Yes, and I can actually definitely confirm that. But
interesting.
Yeah.
So that was your first anal.
Yes.
How did you prep for that?
So I trained for months beforehand to make sure this was something I could actually do, because the reason why I never thought I was going to do anal is because I just never had any good personal experiences in my life. And I was like, how are girls doing this for 40 minutes on camera? What the fuck? And I was like, there's no way I can do this if I'm going to be in pain the whole time. And I finally started having some amazing experiences in my personal life that made me be like, whoa, maybe this is something I can actually do. So once I got to that point, I started training pretty regularly with the butt plug dilator kit, and I was practicing with Cody, with another guy. And yeah, I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I think I can do this.
So you said that you started to have some really amazing anal experiences in your personal life. What do you think facilitated that? What made them amazing?
Well, with one person, he was like, hey, like, this is kind of like my forte. I am pretty good at like easing girls into this.
I am the investor.
So I was like, okay, like, this is something I'm like really interested in. And yeah, I definitely, those experiences definitely kind of taught me, like, once I figured out like what felt good and how to get there, then I was able to like apply that with other people too. And
what did this, like, what did this anal extraordinaire master, like, what did he do to like make it so great?
I don't know. We just went like really slow. Okay. And I wasn't like anything like that special. But yeah, I don't know. His dick was like pretty like great for anal. Like, not all guys have good anal dicks.
Mm-hmm. What makes a good anal dick?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's different for every girl. Obviously, uncircumcised is definitely like best because like you know how some dicks are like really hard and then other dicks are, you know, they get hard, but they're still like have a little like bit
give.
Of squish around
a little
them.
Bit of give, yeah.
Yeah, like that's like the best because when a dick is like just too hard in your ass, like it's great in your pussy because it like, you know, hits your G spot and, but in the ass, it's like not as great. So yeah. And I know for me, it's like I can't handle like super, super thick dicks. Like there were definitely like some more. Within my movie, like, all the scenes were great, but some were more challenging than others just because of, you know, my partner's, like, girth and size and, yeah.
Okay, so not as girthy.
Yeah. The chemistry is honestly, like, I think the most important factor. Like, if I have really great chemistry with somebody, then, like, it's so much easier than somebody that I'm just kind of, like –
yeah.
You know?
Because, I mean, ultimately it's a muscle, right? So the more we relax, the better experience we're going to have. A lot of times bad anal experiences are attributed to just being nervous and uptight. And if your partner can't make you feel relaxed, then it's generally not going to be a good experience.
Yeah.
I also learned, and like I always think about this, so I learned from Lucy Hart because when she was talking about like going through her transition – she was talking about like there's this like butthole doctor in New York. I swear to God, like this is so, it was such an eye-opening experience. That's why I love this podcast. I learned so much. So apparently, like you can have your anal cavity modified to take dick better. Yeah. So I guess some people can do better anal because their anal cavity is more straight.
Yeah.
And then others like are at a diagonal.
I heard there's like there's a second valve. I don't know if that's the right word, but like
second dimension.
Yeah, there's like a second kind of like sphincter.
Yeah.
That like that's like the hard part to to get through to like go super deep.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right. So apparently he can like, I don't know, fix your anal cavity so you can like take dick better.
Yeah, because I'm so jealous of girls who just have like easy assholes. Like I do not have an easy asshole. Like it was really like my routine going up to it is like very delicate. Like if I don't do what I need to do, like I'm I need to be in the perfect situation for it to happen. But other girls are like, yeah, I just like, you know, kind of clean out a little the day of and then just like pop a dick in there.
Some girls prefer it.
Yeah. I'm like, I have to do so much stretching. Yeah. If I don't stretch properly, like it's going to be way harder. Yeah. I'm so jealous of girls with flexible, stretchy assholes.
I remember Katsuni was someone that Katsuni, not Katsumi, because these are two different people. She was French, actually. Mm. She preferred anal. It actually sometimes vaginal sex would like hurt her.
Yeah.
And she almost always wanted anal sex.
Yeah, I've heard that from so many big anal girls. And I'm like, wow.
So what? But yeah, so now you know. So go to this doctor's name. I don't know who he is. Go listen to the Lucy Hart episode. He maybe names him. I don't remember. She maybe names him. Sorry. Okay. Double penetration.
Yes.
Now, okay, so you've conquered like the – I mean, that's – like you're really setting goals here. Okay. Yeah. Anal seemed like a big hurdle for you to overcome.
Yeah.
So like
– so when we initially –
how did you do two?
Yeah. So when we initially first started talking about the movie and doing like a showcase with my first anal, we knew that we wanted to make it an all anal showcase. I waited so long to do anal. We're like, hey, let's just go all out. Mm-hmm. And then I had joked about, like during our meeting, I joked about that I would probably enjoy DP more because I've heard about so many girls saying that DP is way better than anal, like just anal. And, you know, I like I never done a DP in my personal life, but, you know, I've, like, been fucked with, like, a butt plug and, like, mm-hmm. I love that. And then they're like, okay, well, what do you think about putting it in there? Like, you know, and I'm like, you know what? Like, you're right. Fuck it. Like, let's do it. And, yeah, DP was the one thing that I had never done in my personal life. Like, I knew when we were going to do it for the movie, you know, Cody asked me, he's like, do you want to try it, like, off camera first, like, with another – you know, person, like, and me, and I'm, like, I thought about it, but I was, like, you know what, like, if I can, anal was a big thing, I'm, like, I need to know how to do this, mm-hmm. but the DP, I was, like, I want to save this for the camera, because mm-hmm. I knew that I was gonna probably really like it, and mm-hmm. I did, like, anal can be the most, like, intense orgasm ever, but it also is, like, can be really tricky to, like, get to that point, because it's such a, like, overwhelming feeling. Mm-hmm. But when there's, like, a dick in your pussy at the same time, oh, my God. It's, like, the best feeling ever. Like, any of, like, uncomfort that can come with anal, it's, like, just gone. Once there's, like, also a dick in your pussy, it, like, I don't know. It's kind of not distracting from, like, what's happening in your ass, but I don't know. It just feels so good. Like, I'm obsessed with it now. Like, I cannot wait until I can do another one again.
So why do you think that is? Do you think that it just relaxes you more?
Yeah, I think it's, like, that added pleasure mm-hmm. because, like, sometimes I'm having a difficult time, like, prepping for – because I'll, like, prep with my partner before mm-hmm. an anal scene. Sometimes I'll, like, I'll use a Hitachi, like, to get myself to that first mm-hmm. orgasm, and then it's, like, a lot more easier after that. So I think it's just that added, like, sensation of pleasure that's really – adds to the overall feeling and then yeah. also makes, like, your ass feel really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. I remember there was God, I can't remember who it was, a porn star who was telling me that her trick to anal was actually making herself come with a Hitachi one before
yes.
doing the anal yes. because then it automatically relaxes you, mm-hmm. which totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you were quoting as saying that this showcase profoundly changed your life in so many positive ways. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so when I found out, like, the showcase was going to be confirmed, I really took that as, like, a sign in my life to, like, fix some things that I wasn't happy with. Hmm. I had been pretty unhappy with, like, my body for a while. I'd always been, like, really skinny my whole life. And then in, like, the past few years, I noticed kind of, like, I don't know if it had a correlation, but, like, after I had COVID, my body started changing and I gained a lot of weight, but it wasn't, like, healthy weight. It was, mm-hmm. like, you could just tell, like, it was, like, my face was really swollen. My midsection was really swollen and I wasn't, eating unhealthy or anything, but I was partying a lot and...
Sounds like a bloat kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, finally, I, like, went to a doctor and I got diagnosed with PCOS, which stands for polycystic ovary syndrome. I think that's, yeah. But it's basically, like, a hormone disorder. And I realized, like, that's the reason why my body was so out of whack. Like, I had too much, like, testosterone in my body, which was, like, leading to weight gain and, like, certain areas that were really indicative of, like, a hormone problem. And, yeah, I just was really unhappy with how I looked for a while, and I didn't really know what to do. And when I found out I was going to do this movie, I was like, okay, this is really, like, an opportunity, if ever, to take control of my life and, you know, get my body where I want it to be. And I decided to completely, like, stop partying, stop going out. I stopped drinking for about few months. I signed up with this amazing training program called Ultimate Performance, and mm-hmm. it really changed my life. I didn't drink for a good 2 months, and then after that, like, I only, like, went out, like, once or twice for, like, a birthday party and mm-hmm. had a couple drinks, but for the majority of it, I just didn't do anything. I woke up at 5:30 a.m. to go work out. Mm-hmm. I came home. I did everything else I needed to. And it was, like, so healing for me to, like, finally take the time to, like, focus on my health and my body and, like, get myself to where I wanted to be. Not just, like, physically. Like, of course, like, in the end, like, the pictures of my movie really proved where I had gotten to. Like, I'd never been in such peak fitness, mm-hmm. but just, like, physically how I felt, like, inside, I felt so much better. And, yeah, it was really, like, this movie, it was kind of, like, the catalyst for me to be, like, okay, like, I need to take control of this and be a reflection of, like, the kind of performer that I am.
Right, right. That makes sense. And also, I mean, you know, I do exercise just as much to try to, like, maintain in physical shape, but also, like, for mental.
Yeah.
Your mental, like, space and the foods that you eat mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. Like, it all yeah. has to do, you know, people just think about, like, fitness and your body and being, you know, however you want to look, but a lot of it has to do with your mind too.
Yeah. And like, it really was like the, like, I had never really worked out like regularly before that. And I ate like healthy, but I wasn't really like, didn't really know like what was working for my body. But I think the thing that made the biggest difference was just like stopped partying for yeah. a few months like that. Like, I didn't realize, like, I mean, I did know like it was taking like quite a toll on my mental health mm-hmm. and I, you know, it's just hard when there's like so many industry parties and everything. But yeah, after AVN and I think like Expos was the last night I really went out. After that, I was like, okay, like no more until I shoot my showcase.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And then how has the partying been like since you shot your showcase?
Are yeah.
you kind of like...
I've definitely
find yourself pulled back a little bit?
Yeah, I'm definitely much more healthier with it. Like, now I'm kind of, like, reeling it back in again because I got back into training, too. So I'm just, like, really realizing, like, how I feel when I'm being really healthy versus how I feel when I'm, like, having a little bit too much fun. Mm-hmm. And having fun is great, but, you know, I'm really, like, figuring out that balance now.
Right.
Because yeah. it's also, like, not that fun to, you know, just be eating a super strict diet and
yes
not going out, not hanging out yes. with friends. And like, I love food. Like, my parents were, you know, had restaurants and my mom was a private chef, so like I really have a appreciation for food. Mm-hmm. So yeah
so I mean, speaking of, like, how do you balance like work and like personal mental wellness, like, besides, you know, beyond not partying or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, how do you strike that balance? Because I find that yeah. a lot of people these days, especially now that whether our cell phones and our emails are in our hands at all times and it's a lot of demand for our attention. Like, how do you strike that balance?
Yeah, that's something I'm still really trying to learn.
I think
especially
all are.
In balancing like screen time. Like, I'm starting to really realize like the effect it has on like my dopamine. I got like diagnosed recently with ADD, so I'm trying to like really pull that back into, because I realized like my phone is just like a unlimited like dopamine machine.
Yeah.
And not in a great way. Mm-hmm. But it's also really tricky because my phone is my work. Like, if I could, I would like get rid of my iPhone and just have like a phone to mm-hmm. answer calls and get rid of social media and everything. But unfortunately, like, my job is social media mm-hmm. and like being a presence online. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's something I'm still really learning how to balance, but you know, therapy is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
May I also just recommend, just because I found that it personally helps for me, have you ever thought about getting like a social media manager?
You know, that would be great.
So yeah. Masha does that for me.
Oh.
And it's great because, like, I don't read yeah. the comments. I yeah. don't read my DMs most of the time. Like, she'll let me know if there's something that I need to see. But, like,
yeah.
overall, like, not being consumed in that world and is very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still on my phone too much and I still check my emails too much and stuff like that. But especially, mm-hmm. like, after I had a kid, I was like, I got to find a way to pull back a little mm-hmm. bit. You know, and I will say that, like, having someone do all that stuff, and then I don't have to, like, worry about, like, putting up updates, especially with how much yeah. I update my Instagram with all, like, the reels and stuff from my podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't fucking have time for that.
Yeah.
So having someone, like, do that for you is, I have to say, it's quite freeing.
Yeah, that's really smart. I should look into that.
Yeah. Just a suggestion. It worked for me. Okay. So do you have any aspirations to ever work behind the camera?
You know, I'm thinking about it more and more. Like, a few years ago, like, somebody asked me what I would think about, like, directing a few scenes. And We just kind of never really got around to it. But, you know, when I first started in the industry, I never really thought about that as a possibility at all. Now, like, more and more, it's something I'm thinking about just because after spending so much time on set over these years, like, I see the way that things are done and I'm like, oh, no, like, this should be done like that, or mm-hmm. I would change this, or there's like certain little details I was like, why isn't anybody talking about this, or things mm-hmm. that like get overlooked that I'm like, okay, this is driving me crazy, but this mm-hmm. is also not my set, like, it's, you know, not my place to necessarily say certain things, and I'm starting to get like a lot of like creative idea to that I think would be cool to bring to life. So yeah, it's definitely a possibility for the future.
Yeah, and I found that a lot of times performers who've spent time in front of the camera obviously make great directors because they understand what it's like to be in front of the camera. A lot of directors have never been in front of the camera, so mm-hmm. they don't get what it's like when you're having like a really hard mental health day to put that aside and like perform, and you know how mentally exhausting it is to be in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. It's really, I didn't know that until I did I hosted that Playboy TV show for a few seasons, but I didn't understand like that until I experienced it. And I was like, oh, this is way harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. Like one day on set, I totally broke down and cried.
Yeah.
And I had to like go, I was like, we have to stop for an hour because I need an hour to stop crying. Yeah. I'm so sorry. This is not intentional. Mm-hmm. I recognize that this is like unprofessional. If I was behind the camera, I'd be very annoyed with myself right now, but I literally like can't stop crying and I need a minute.
Yeah.
And until I had that experience, I never got it.
Yeah, it's a lot,
you know. Well, I hope that you nurture that idea, because I think we also need more women behind the camera.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
So you have been in a long-time relationship mm-hmm. with somebody who I'm very fond of.
Yes.
Many of us are very fond of him, Cody Steele.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that relationship developed?
So we met, I think I was like maybe 6 months into my career. I met him on set. I already knew who he was. I had a little bit of a crush on him. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the fan in the sense that like I watched his stuff, but you know, I was like, oh, he's like really cute. And mm-hmm. I was very excited that I was going to get to work with him. It was for the scene is on Pornhub. It's hilarious. It was for a Team Skeet for one of their sites called BFFs. Mm-hmm. And it was me and two other girls and then two extras. And it's like the scene is supposed to be that we're these like little raver girls at a rave trying to seduce the DJ. But it's like shot in this house with like a two-story ceiling, and it's like daytime, and it's this huge living room. It's just like the five of us in the living room and him like in the corner as the DJ. And they wanted an hour of raw footage of us like partying and like being
slutty. So they didn't even try to black out the windows.
No, it was so awkward. It was so awkward. And yeah, but when I was there, like, nobody was like flirting with him or trying to like, you know, do anything with him. And I was like, okay, you guys are going to just stay there. I'm going to go over there. And we like fooled around a little bit before the scene, and during the scene, we had a great connection, and then fooled around after the scene too. And yeah, we like became friends after that. And we ended up becoming neighbors. I was renting a guest house from another performer, and then he ended up moving into a spare bedroom of theirs. So we were like across the yard from each other.
Oh.
So we started hanging out a lot, and then, and then we ended up dating.
Wow.
And now we've been dating for 4 years.
So how do you experience, like, what's it like dating in the industry? Because I've heard some people say that it's easier to date other performers. Some people have said it's harder. I know it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, the general like layman has a hard time figuring how one can have a relationship with somebody that has sex with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that, like, does that ever come up as an issue for you guys?
Never. So, I mean, my relationship with Cody is honestly, like, my first real relationship in my life. Like, I've had, like, little ones in high school, but, like, nothing really that serious. So it's hard for me to, like, compare what our relationship would be like to anything else because I don't really know, like, anything else. But the two of us are really, like, naturally open people. We always have been. So when it comes to, like, jealousy or, you know, how we feel about each other working with other people or, you know, it just – it's never really a problem because that's just how the way we are. We even, like, fool around with other people in our, like, personal lives. We are, like, sexually open. But ultimately when it comes to that, it's easy for me to just say, like, that, oh, we're open and there's no jealousy. But – there has to be, like, a really strong sense of trust as well for there to be that. And with him, he's always, from day one, made me feel like I am number one. He's like, if there is ever an issue, if we're ever, like, you know, if we're, for example, like, having a threesome with another girl, he's like, if for whatever reason anything happens where you're just not comfortable, you're not feeling, he's like, just tell me. So he's like, I don't care how crazy you may think you feel or actually are, you are my number one priority. So we can have fun with other people, but he's like, you, I want you to know that it, you are number one at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then when it comes to, like, working professionally, like, people just don't realize that, like, shooting porn is, while, like, you know, we do enjoy ourselves, like, it's work at the end of the day. Like, you know, I do not want to go home and, you know, stay with this other person. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of all about, like, who you come home to at night, right? Mm-hmm. I remember there was once a performer who, when he first got in, thought it would be a good idea to send flowers to every girl that he worked with.
Oh my God.
And I, like, had a very hard time explaining to him that, like, yeah, it was not a good idea. I was like, and the girls never wanted it. They were very uncomfortable with this guy even asking for their address. Like, yeah, his dick was just in you for 8 hours, but she's like, I don't want him to know where I live. Yeah. Like, it just, and it was, and he was like, but it's such a nice gesture. I'm like, it's work, and it's, like, weird. It's just, don't.
Yeah, I had a guy bring me flowers on set once, and it was kind of cute, but also I was just like,
this feels a little bit weird.
Yeah, because this isn't, like, a romantic thing. Like, mm-hmm. our friends didn't set us up on a blind date or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, this is work. Like, we're both being hired to perform a job, and, like, while, of course, like, there's still, like, intimacy and, you know, all that, it's a very, like, clear boundary. And you know, I, like, we both have friends that we love to work with, and, like, for me, like, that's the thing. Like, I love to hear at the end of the day, you had a great scene. I'm like, how did it go? He was like, it was fucking great. I'm like, that's awesome. And, you know, same thing with me. And he's like, if he ever hears that, like, I had a bad scene, he's like, well, fuck that guy. They didn't fuck you right. Like, he's like, I'm going to have a talk with them because they didn't fuck you well.
Listen, you didn't fuck my girlfriend right. We need to have a talk.
Yeah.
I love that. So, what's your favorite thing about Cody?
Oh, my favorite thing about him. Honestly, he's just, like, he's such a nice person. Like, especially in this industry, like, it's really hard to come about, like, nice, genuine men. And I think just in general, like, it's hard to find really amazing men. And I don't know, for me with him, like, he's just ultimately, like, an amazing person. He is, like, so sweet and caring and honest. And yeah,
he has really good vibes about him. What's the most romantic thing he's ever done for you?
Ooh. There's a lot. It's really hard to.
I just put you on the spot. Huh? Yeah, he's gonna watch this and be like, Vanna.
No, and I'm so bad when, like, people, even if somebody's like, what's your favorite song? I'm like, I, like, completely, like, have a brain fart. No, but something really cute he did for Christmas one year, he, like, found me this, like, antique, like, this 100-year-old antique Tiffany's like jewelry box.
Ooh.
Yeah, he is like very thoughtful when it comes to like things like that. He gets very creative. And
so he's a good gift giver?
Yeah, he's learned. I've like had to train him a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, we all
he's better with like experiences. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys were just in Europe, right?
Yeah, we were. We were in Estonia and Portugal and Spain.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
God, I love Europe. I miss it. One day I'll go back there once my kid's old enough to not shove Play-Doh up her nose anymore. So did the porn industry change how you view relationships in general? Like, can you see yourself – say, like, you and Cody get out of porn, mm-hmm. right? And you get married and whatever, grow old together. Do you think that, like, you guys would have a monogamous relationship at that point? Or do you think that you would still stay open?
No, I think we would still stay open, you know. We're still open, like, in our personal lives. So, yeah, I mean, I think if we got out of porn and then we got married, like, I don't think that would really – change that at all. Like, you know, if it came down to like maybe more like having kids, like I don't know, that would probably maybe change things. But yeah, that's really hard for me to say.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Well, Vanna, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to see you. And I have some questions for you from my Patreon members, which we'll do an exclusive Q&A afterwards, if you don't mind hanging around.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you online, please?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter under Vanna Bardot, just my name. And then my TikTok is the Vanna Bardot. And I think that's about it. Yeah. Okay. My OnlyFans is Vanna Bardot 2.
Can't forget OnlyFans. And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. Go to hollylinks.com for links to all of my profiles. I'm on Telegram. I'm on Reddit. I'm also on TikTok, hanging on by a thread. They've been threatening to shut me down forever. I have a Facebook. I got it all. And of course, if you want to watch this podcast live and get access to the bonus Q&As like we're about to do right now, go to patreon.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Drop Vanna a line. Tell her that you saw her on the podcast so she knows that she didn't waste her time over here. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my Not Safe for Work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.